IMF complains about U.S. tax cuts, warns it's bad for the children. Okay, that title is me. That's me taking some creative license, but if you walk it out, that's pretty much what they're saying here. So the Global Social Engineering Corporation that derives its power from coercive enterprises is warning the global community that efforts by the U.S. to allegedly reduce the amount of money it takes from people for having the privilege of exchanging value between one another within American borders, or simply with people who reside within the borders, it's just bad for the economy, kids. And if it's bad for the economy, of course, it's bad for the kids. So the IMF is essentially complaining that the Trump administration isn't stealing enough from people. And of course, this is bad for the kind of business that the IMF thrives on, which is coercive in nature. So if you have an economy that derives its strength from stealing from others, then ponder this out there in radio, TV, video land. What kind of economy do you have? And why should anyone want to perpetuate this? And this is from New York Mag. IMF Managing Director Christine Lagarde. Oh, that was a hiss. When you hear her name mentioned, you should automatically hiss. Said the Trump administration's $1.5 trillion tax cut could prompt other nations to follow suit. Fueling a, quote, race to the bottom, unquote, that risks hemming in public spending.
What we are beginning to see already.
And what is concerned is the beginning of a race to the bottom, where many other policymakers around the world are saying, well, if you're going to cut tax and you're going to have sweet deals with your corporates, I'm going to do the same, Lagarde said.
You need public money.
Yes, you do. For the roads, of course, and for the children. The race to the bottom is not conducive to the investments and to helping prepare the workforce in our societies for this new economy of tomorrow. See, that's whenever she says anything, you should automatically add the evil megalomaniacal scientist, whatever, laughed. Then it makes more sense. Let there be light that powers quantum computers. So the key to the quantum computer emergence may just be a light. And that light is a new kind of light. It's discovered by researchers at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Isn't that the home of the New England Patriots that lost to the Philadelphia Eagles? Go Eagles! Yeah. I thought so. As a lifelong Eagles fan, it pleases me to no end to point that out wherever and whenever I can, even if it's not even related to the story, as it clearly isn't here. So this is from Newsweek. Physics. Physics creates new form of light that could drive the quantum computing revolution. That's their headline, not mine. For the first time, scientists have watched groups of three photons interacting and effectively producing a new form of light. In results published in Science, researchers suggest that this new light could be used to perform highly complex, incredibly fast computations. I'm not going to go through what photons are, but in 2013, scientists made them clump together in pairs, creating a new state of matter. This discovery shows that interactions are possible on a greater scale. It was an open question. Vladin Vletic, now that's a cool name, actually, from MIT said, can you add more photons to a molecule to make bigger and bigger things? And then, apart from the press release here, the team's results represents one of the largest arrays of quantum bits, known as qubits, that scientists have been able to individually control The same issue of Nature, a team from the universe of Maryland, yes, reports a similarly sized system using trapped ions as quantum bits. So you can go to the show notes, and there's a lot more stuff there. It's fascinating. So Let There Be Light, and then right after Let There Be Light, Let There Be Quantum Computers. Assad, Rojava, in talks to form direct military alliance against the Turk Reich. For a very long time, I've been saying Rojava, and apparently it's Rojava. So it's going to take me a while to get used to saying Rojava and not Rojava. While I have seen this report that I'm going to outline here in multiple sources, the finality of the report is still in doubt. At least that's what it seems, although I see some conflicting reports that it's not exactly in doubt that it's actually a done deal. So, regardless, the fact that the Assad regime is actually in talks, and that much is confirmed, with the Rojavans about coming to the aid militarily, directly, to defend a region of Rojava, I'm going to get it, man. Rojava. You know, I should go through an exercise where I say it like 200 times in a day for like 200 days in a row. And then I probably still won't get it right. So what they're essentially talking about is Syria militarily coming to the aid of the Rojavans fighting off the Turk Reich, which is in the process of attempting to take over the region known as Afrin. And the Syrians, they're willing to tolerate the Rojavans, and it seems that the Rojavans, I would say, are willing to compromise to some degree with Assad. They definitely want to preserve their sovereignty, such as that is, in exchange for what, I'm not sure. But Assad is in a position where he knows the nature of the Turk Reich, and he knows once they take land, they don't easily give it back up. And he does not want Turkey to have this plot of Syrian land is like a dagger pointed at Damascus. He doesn't want that. And when you have Erdogan warning the U.S. that if they interfere with their plans, that America will get an Ottoman slap, yeah, that tells you that Erdogan does not have any intention stopping here. And Syria, by the way, happens to be a part of what used to be the Ottoman Empire. So they kind of have an interest to try to work something out with the Rojavans to prevent Turkey from getting further encroachment into Syria. Tennessee bill would protect Airbnbs from local regulations. And this is from our longer leash files. Who knows if it'll make it on the longer leash segment coming up this Thursday on Is Daily Thursday with myself and Lou Sander, but it's a strong contender. The state of Tennessee may be considering rolling back regulations by Tennessee cities that effectively shut down Airbnbs. The proposed legislation would bar local governments from creating regulations that shut down Airbnbs' private overnight bed and breakfasts. And this is from Times Free Press. Chattanooga officials and Hamilton County's two state senators are watching a bill in the Tennessee General Assembly that would short-circuit the city's rules regulating short-term rentals, such as Airbnb. The city council adopted rules last June for short-term rentals. By the way, that's where you hiss. You hiss right there at that moment. And is preparing to vote February 27th on a few tweaks to them, including enlarging the districts where homeowners may operate them. The bill, sponsored by Senator John Stevens, would take away Tennessee City's authorities to ban short-term rentals, hence the longer leash category. So, in a nutshell, Tennessee is working on possibly preventing localities from banning individuals from using their homes as Airbnbs. Well, you know, that definitely deserves a clap. We thank our masters for at least attempting to lengthen the leash. Whether leash actually gets lengthened here is another matter altogether. But I'd be willing to bet that behind this, as often is the case with longer leashes, behind this, there may be some sort of special Airbnb tax. I'm not saying for sure. I'm just saying give it a few months. Let's see. Company offers 3D printed electronics on demand. Now available on demand, 3D printed electronics thanks to Nano Dimensions. And this is from Nano Dimensions website. Nano Dimension, a leading additive electronics provider, today announced the immediate availability of the world's first 3D printed electronics online service, giving designers and engineers unprecedented access to develop smart, electrified objects, including those that cannot be produced by any other method today. And then the CEO, Meet Dror, says, and the CEO of Nanodimension, of course, "We're excited to bring to market the first ever digital manufacturing service for on-demand electronics, prototypes, and short-run production. Our unique additive manufacturing capabilities positions us to be the first to offer professional-grade 3D printed circuitry, encapsulated sensors, and printed antennas to designers and engineers within days, compressing our customers' time to market and delivering valuable services across their entire product life cycle." That's a pretty big step for 3D printing there, and Yeah, keep watching this company, and I'm sure that other companies will follow soon behind. And I would guess within a year or two, maybe less, you might see 3D printed electronic stores where you go and you look at the floor models and you say, "I want that one." And so you'll have 3D printed electronics products on demand. More tariffs considered by Trump administration. On top of the tariffs already announced, it appears the Trump administration is now considering more tariffs. This time, he's targeting steel and aluminum imports. And this is from the Wall Street Journal. So the Trump administration said it is considering sweeping new limits on imports of steel and aluminum as the next phase of its, quote, "America First," unquote, economic policies, playing down warnings from economists and allies about the risks of higher prices and trade wars. Well, yeah, and remember, tariff is a form of taxation. So he's essentially raising taxes on aluminum steel. Good job. "Imports threaten to impair our national security," Commerce. Well, yeah, I mean, it's either the children or national security, right? In this case, it's national security, which in the end ends up coming back to children, because if you're against national children, if you're a, wow, I don't know what national children are, but I don't want to meet them alone in a dark alley. I'd be very afraid to meet national children alone in a dark alley. But if you're against national security, then of course you're for children being, you know, vulnerable to terrorist attacks and Chinese imports of steel, which will probably hit them right in the face. You got to protect them from that. So in the name of my children's and my securities, Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross is defending this consideration. Good times. That was sarcasm, by the way. And now, ladies and gentlemen, your moment of lulls. Bedbug poop is making you ill. For reals. Yeah, I wrote that headline. I did that. I wrote a headline in which I said for wheels, and I spelled reels, R-E-A-L-Z, because that's what I do. You have to do these things to keep yourself sane when you're mired. I'll say neck deep. I'll say it's up. When you're mired neck deep in the proverbial poop of the news. So if you're getting sick all the time, outside of feeling pretty crappy, it might actually bee crap.
5 minutes.
That's doing it to you. And the crap in question is coming from the butts of bed bugs. Now, they didn't word it like that, but if you really break it down and you get down to the essentials, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the butts of bed bugs doing things to you to make you ill. That's a visual. Read more at mentalfloss.com. Well, that's where I'm going to get this excerpt from. Bed bugs can give you nasty bites and a lifetime of nightmares, but scientists have long wondered if the creepy parasites can pass diseases to their host. For years, the general consensus was no. Unlike ticks, mosquitoes, and other insects that are known to feast on human blood. Wait, did they say government or... No, they actually just said... Oh, it's the same thing. That's... Okay, I get it. Bed bugs aren't packing any harmful pathogens in their bites. Ah, but... Not so fast, bed bugs. According to a new study spotted by Gizmodo, the bugs don't need to nibble on us to make us sick. Histamines in their poop might be aggravating our immune systems. Wow. Maybe if you provided like a little station in your bed where the bed bugs could go to the bathroom, then they wouldn't poop in areas where you'd get it in your nose. And do you have to get it in your mouth or your nose? It doesn't say. So for their study recently published in the journal PLOS One, scientists at North Carolina State University tested the dust in a bed bug infested apartment complex. They found that samples from infested homes had histamine levels 20 times higher than those without bed bugs. This was still the case 3 months after the building had been treated by exterminators. Wow. New York federal judge rules Instagram Twitter embeds are copyright-protected material. Apparently, it is now legal to put Twitter and Instagram embeds in blog posts. And this is a ruling by New York federal judge Catherine Forrest. Yes, you should be hissing now. Let's see if her ruling stands, but the fact that she made the ruling at all, to me at least, shows how unstable and uncertain the judicial system is. In America, actually is, you know, my rule of laws. It's arbitrary, folks. It's arbitrary. And my reasoning is simple. If a sitting judge can somehow determine that using a public embed from an Instagram post or Twitter tweet is copyright-protected material, then even by the standards of rule of law, even within the state Yvonne State face parameters, this judge, Catherine Forrest, insert hiss there, is completely off her rocker. But there you have it. We're running out of time, so let's get to the next story real quick. Cryptocurrency safe from U.S. regs for foreseeable future, says White House official. Hey, this is another one of these longer leash stories, right? White House official Rob Joyce told the folks at CNBC this past Friday that cryptocurrency regs from the U.S. were not coming anytime soon, and Joyce is the special assistant to the president as well as the White House cybersecurity director. He said, I think we're still absolutely studying and understanding what the good ideas and bad ideas in that space are, so I don't think it's close. So in other words, dude, we're going to clamp down on this, man. We're gonna rein it in.
1 minute.
We're not quite ready. And here's our last story. For this headlines you may have missed, U.S. claims to have security algorithms to protect against quantum computing. And I avoided the headline that was shared by Gizmodo because of obvious reasons. Well, you'll see. U.S. government has 69 proposed candidates for quantum computer resistant security algorithms. And the reason that I avoided this headline is because if the government is involved, the number 69 is never appropriate. It's usually, I don't know what the number is for a behind entry in a non-reach around reality, but yeah. So apparently they have 69 algorithms to combat the coming doom of quantum computing.